Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Paul Charchian joins us weekly. He's on Twitter at Paul Charchian. He of fanball.com and League Safe is with us now on Sports Radio 670. Charch, hello.
Hi, Connor, Dan, hello.
So, last night, was that the waiver wire bowl, as Connor just dubbed it?
Don't like it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dak Prescott is at the top of my quarterback list at the waiver wire. His best four games from a fantasy standpoint, his best four games of the season have been his last four games. And you add in Amari Cooper and a juicy matchup with the Falcons for this coming week. And Dak Prescott is a guy that makes a ton of sense on the waiver wire this week, yeah.
You've also got another quarterback on that list. It's going to have some injury speculation to go along with it, but it kind of seems as though Joe Flacco may not start for the Ravens.
Yeah, the hip injury. I don't think he's going to go. And I think he may have been benched anyway. That was coming. They've lost four of the last five. And, you know, Jaron Harbaugh, 30 talking about his next job somewhere else. So this thing looks like it's unraveled badly for the Ravens. So why not give your first-round quarterback a chance? And here's why fantasy owners should care about Lamar Jackson. In a typical, given his running prowess, a typical game, he's going to get you 40, 50, 60 rushing yards and a coin flip's chance at a touchdown one way or another. Then that's like having, that's like your running back two. That's like Frank Gore automatically. And we're not even talking about his passing yet. He's not a great passer, but if he's 200 passing yards a game and a touchdown or two, that's just all gravy. So the explosiveness that you get with a quarterback who can run in fantasy is just unparalleled. And you guys are seeing part of it there because of look at what Trubisky's doing from a fantasy standpoint. He's been fantastic in no small part because the rushing numbers to go with the passing have been so good.
What is the ownership percentage out of curiosity for Marcus Mariota?
Ah, well, it's not high because Mariota was really inconsistent. It's 16%, wow. So available in 84% of leagues. But now we're on version 2.0 of Mariota, the version where he has feeling in his passing hand, which seems to help. So, yeah, this is he's played a lot better the past couple of weeks. He's on bye this week, so you won't have to pay much to get him. Coming out of the bye, he's actually got a really favorable schedule as well. He's got the Colts, the Texans, and the Jets the next 3 weeks. Two of those three, for sure, are startable options for Marcus Mariota.
So as the bye weeks trail off, it's time to start getting your playoff schedules set, whether you're a 15, 16, 17, or however your playoffs works. Do you believe in cuffing season for those who have had the top-tier running backs and you know, perhaps teams that are 8-1 with a couple of losses that they may just kind of pass on rushing their big guys and go for the backups?
Yeah, this is the time. If you're heading to the playoffs, normally you want a team of depth so that when the bye weeks come and injuries happen, you've got backups on your roster that you can plug in and get serviceable numbers for. But now that this is the last tough bye week, we got two teams left that for next week on bye. That's it. By the way, we should talk about that Monday night game, which might not be a Monday night game at some point. Now we want to turn our attention to the backups behind these great players, like Malcolm Brown for the Rams and Spencer Ware for the Chiefs and Rod Smith for the Cowboys and Giovanni Bernard for the Bengals. Those are the handcuffs you want to have, because if anything happens to your starters, these guys all become like top five, top 10 running backs if they're going to get the workload for their team. So now's the time where forward-thinking, playoff-bound fantasy owners go lock up those handcuffs.
Is Bears wide receiver Anthony Miller on your radar?
He really is. And you guys tell me. I mean, I it's been kind of inconsistent, but I'm looking at a guy who just had career highs in catches and yards and a couple of receptions that were really deep. And I don't love this week's matchup, but long term, you get week 12 against Detroit, week 15 and 16 against Green Bay and San Francisco. That seems like some opportunities here, and he seems to be trending the right way. It seems like as he's going up, we're seeing Taylor Gabriel go down in usage. Is this a thing in your mind, or do you think that this is more or just a game-by-game situation?
Gabriel had a couple of targets, three of them, I think, against the Lions, and one of them was in the back of the end zone that it would have been a touchdown if not for a great play by the cornerback on coverage. Miller's the guy who he's missed the most, like literally thrown over his head while he's wide open. And those kind of struggles for Mitch have somewhat gone away over the last few weeks. So it kind of feels like it'd be a big chance for Miller to bust out if he connects on some of those plays. And it might not come to the detriment of Gabriel after all.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if they could just both get fed? That'd be ideal. You feel like Miller – I feel like Gabriel's only got so much at his size. I feel like Gabriel can only do so much with it. Although, you know, you get Tyreek Hills, you know, who are his size and are able to be fantastic, but not necessarily everybody. You know, as great as Mitch has been, as just a quick divergence for a moment, maybe as big a story for me, if I were a Bears fan, would be the fact that I think you've got all the right coaches in place. You've got one of the three best defensive coordinators, and I think you got the right head coach. And that's, you know, that's a third of the equation, right? Front office, quarterback, head coach. And you guys have got, I think you're set. It feels like everything's coming together right now. And that, I think if people aren't recognizing a significant and dramatic improvement in coaching that you guys are experiencing, they're missing the boat.
We haven't talked about running backs much yet, and I'm wondering if there's any rule of thumb. Is field conditions start to matter? The cold winds start blowing. If running backs become more important of finding those right matchups, are there historical trends that dictate some of these the work around the edges logically?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, as if you get into muddy, sloppy, snowy, you know, wet field conditions, a lot of times you're straight ahead plotting. You know, runners tend to do better. Your Jordan Howard types instead of your Tariq Cohen types. The guys who have to rely on that sharp cut to hit a hole and can't because they can't get good purchase on a wet turf. Those are the guys who sometimes struggle in those situations. And that brings us to the Monday night game, which is an absolutely epic tilt. Rams versus Chiefs, two highest scoring teams in the league.
And however,
the problem is we don't even know if they're going to play the game. The field conditions are so bad, they are talking about either relocating the game and playing it on that night, or because the teams both have a bye the next week, they're talking about kicking it forward a week and finding a different location and moving it ahead a whole week. So this thing has still got a little bit of turbulence to it because of the terrible field conditions in Aztec Stadium in Mexico City.
Thank God it's just the Chiefs and the Rams. Nobody owns those guys in fantasy.
Yeah, right. No fantasy impact there at all.
Good Lord.
Imagine this scenario, which is just be a disaster for fantasy owners. If noon Sunday comes, and at that point we still think the game's happening, and then later Sunday or even Monday, they cancel the game or move the game. Then I don't even know what fantasy owners would do then.
Strikes fear into
total
the heart.
Disaster.
Wow. Absolutely ugly. Hey, I'm wondering, you know, as these buys go away and the playoffs approach, are you less apt, Charge, to stream defenses the way that you had been doing during the regular season? Do you want to find one that's got the best schedule for 3 weeks? Because, you know, as playoffs go and teams get knocked out, guys are more likely to pick up two or three defenses just to make block moves in some leagues.
Yeah, if you're playoff bound, now's the time to start looking at weeks 14, 15, and 16 to start plotting all of your moves. I mean, as an example, we mentioned Dak Prescott earlier. He's got the easiest playoff run out of any quarterback. And you should be planning for those things. You mentioned defenses. Absolutely. Go find, you know, go plot out 14, 15, 16. Who cares if you lose now? If you're headed to the playoffs anyway, all that we care about is you string together three wins in 14, 15, and 16. And it's hard to look past these games and just accept maybe some losses you wouldn't otherwise have. But yeah, so whether it's streaming defenses, quarterbacks, or almost anything else, I think, you know, at this point, if you know you're going to the playoffs, 14, 15, 16 is all that matters, baby.
Did Rashad Penny announce himself as a running RB2, or was that a little bit more fool's gold than anything else?
He looked good. You know, first-round talent who's done nothing this season, and by the way, available in 87% of leagues now.
That's a lot of leagues.
That's a lot of leagues. He just put up 108 yards and a rushing touchdown. And for Rashad Penny, the problem now is they've already announced that Chris Carson's coming back for the Thursday night game, and Davis is there. And Penny is there, and they're all running well. And so now you're really in a three-man rotation, and that's my biggest concern on Rashad Penny is they will almost certainly use a rotation of backs, because really ever since Marshawn Lynch has left, that's all they've done is use rotations of backs. So, yeah, there's that. By the way, as a quick side note to Seattle, as a quick pivot, their offensive line was dreadful for 3-4 years. They finally got rid of Tom Cable, their offensive line coach, and now the offensive line is good. Tom Cable, where'd he go? Oakland. Hmm. 3 years ago, we were talking about Oakland as having the best line in the NFL.
Yeah, it was Oakland and Dallas.
Yeah. Right? Now, they're awful. They're absolutely terrible. Everywhere that guy goes, utter disaster for their offensive lines.
And he's also throwing assistant coaches into file cabinets, too, right? I mean, the guy's just, he's a nightmare.
You remember that.
Yes.
He is a nightmare.
Quick question for you, and you'd be the guy to ask. We always have heard about the value that that pass rushers have in drawing holding penalties. Say you didn't get the sack, but all of a sudden you were able to end a drive by a holding penalty. What we're seeing now are the number of wide receivers that are forcing pass interference penalties. We saw Mitchell Trubisky do it. Is there any way at some point that fantasy football will account for this, that you will have somebody not just actually scoring a touchdown, but flipping the field, whether it's drawing a holding penalty on defense or being somebody who you have to interfere with? That's a measurable and quantifiable skill now.
This more broadly, and I've been saying this for years, and I'm talking to specifically right now Chicago-based Stats, Inc., we need better box scores.
Yeah.
If you can feed us better box scores, we can play the game in myriad better ways. So if they could give us reliable box score style data in our data feeds, then we can start doing that. Let me give you an example. Mitch Trubisky throws a screen pass to Tariq Cohen. The pass goes 5 yards. Tariq Cohen breaks 7 tackles en route to an 85-yard touchdown. Well, Mitch Trubisky gets credit for the 85 yards. And, you know, I think in a different world, it would be great to be able to parse out how far the ball went in figuring out how many, fantasy points that we're awarding. Who should get all of those points? How about broken tackles? Why can't that be a stat? Mm. Why can't I be giving Tariq Cohen a tenth of a point for every broken tackle? That's the kind of stuff I would love to see in advanced box scores that data providers aren't giving fantasy operators.
How many fantasy owners or players, I should say, would be interested in that kind of granular stuff, do you think? Have you kind of polled any of this stuff?
Yeah. Because
like the vast majority?
Because there's market inequities in there. That's just going to make smarter people better drafters.
Correct. And that's what, we've now been playing fantasy sports en masse, like lots of people, for 15, 20 years now. And the games and the way we're playing is just so much more sophisticated. 20 years ago, all the matter was, did you score a touchdown or not? You were touchdown only leagues. Now we score all kinds of different ways. We want to play, as we continue playing fantasy, we just want to get more and more sophisticated. But we're looking at box scores that are the same things that our grandparents looked at, and our grandparents' grandparents did in the 1940s. It's time for that to get better.
I know this is a special day for you annually, Charge. Usually I'm in my car in tears when you're talking about it. For the first time, I get to sit right here.
Tomorrow is November 14th, one of the most important days of the year for me. 13 years ago, my daughter, Audrey, was born. And 12 years ago, the day she turned one, I went to a stationery store and I bought a leather-bound blank journal. And every November 14th, I hand write a letter to Audrey in the book. I write about our years spent together, how much she's grown, she's changed, the times that she made me laugh, all our adventures together throughout the year, her big life events that you want to document. I remind her of my pride in her accomplishments. In many ways, a deeper pride than in my own accomplishments. I tell her how much her relentless enthusiasm for life fills my heart with joy. The sense of purpose she has unlocked within me as I strive to be a better person for her. And tomorrow I will write this year's chapter in the book, and it is the highlight of my year. Now, guys, she does not know about the book. And maybe when she goes to college or when she gets married, I will give it to her with 20 plus years of letters. The book is my most treasured and irreplaceable possession. And parents, and I know mostly I'm talking about fathers listening right now, think about how much this would have meant to you. And I hope that you will do this for your kids. No matter what their age is, it's never too late to start. You don't have to start at year one. Start this year, fathers.
This is always easier when I was in my car. Charge, thank you.
Thanks, Charge.
Thanks for that and everything else.
Thanks for letting me do that every year. I think we're on year 8 or 9, and I hear from people from around Chicago that have heeded the advice, and I hope others will too.
That's awesome stuff.
They will.
Thanks, friends.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.